This is The Motivation.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Jiu-Jitsu's Coast to Coast, a podcast that talks about what's important on and off the mats. I'm Frank. I'm joined by my homeboy, Fonzo. What's going on, Fonzo?
Going on, man. I'm fucking doing great. I only worked half a day today, so I'm fucking doing great. Had a Yeah, plus, you know, we just had that holiday, so I took some extra time off. Had last Friday off, too, so I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I'm excited to be talking to you. I got a cool-ass topic for today, and I know you got some cool topic, too, so I can't wait to talk to you about that as well. Yeah. How are you doing?
Tell everybody what this episode's going to be about, man. What are we doing on this one?
So I've been looking into this, you know, reading some articles about
Dude, you're supposed to say we're doing 40s with friends and then get to your topic.
All right, we're doing 40s with friends. I know, I fucked up, man. Damn. All right, let me
Start over. Go. Hey, everybody, what's up?
What's up? We're doing 40s with friends. And I'm talking.
All right.
And I'm talking about there's just been reading articles, man, about the labor shortage. You know what I'm talking about? Like people just not going to work. And
in hospitals, they're not delivering babies and stuff.
That's it, man. I think you're not putting enough work, man. I'm not putting enough work. We gotta.
I'm not trying to be a baby daddy. I'll tell you that right now.
Tell that to the baby mamas out there.
Put a ring on this. Too late.
Anyways, nah, man. But like, you know, people just don't want to work or not able to work or whatever it is, you know. But
okay, now I know what you're talking about. Not talking about babies. You're talking about jobs.
Jobs, right? Like, J-O-Bs. You know, I'm,
and it, yeah, and dude, and it seems like everywhere you go, there's people like they're looking for workers,
dude. You go to eat at a restaurant, like, you know, it takes forever to get, you know, to get service or whatever. Like, what was it? Like a couple weeks ago, I was in Fresno, you know, kicking it, whatever. Went to go, you know, just have, you know, just like in the afternoon, go grab a beer and, you know, grab some, you know, snacks or whatever, like, you know, finger foods. And, dude, it took them forever to serve us. And, you know, we realized it was one person working the whole damn restaurant. Well, two people, the cook and the bartender were the only people working in this little pub, right? That's it. So, like, she was fucking, you know, serving drinks, taking orders, bussing shit and this and that. So that's why it took forever. And we felt bad. We're like, oh, man, you know, and we're not trying to hate on this place because obviously these people are fucking hardworking. You know, they're there by themselves.
They're trying their best.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, like, you know, we understand, like, hey, man, like, you don't need a couple more people to add to your stress. So we ended up just saying, hey, you know, thank you anyways, and, you know, we just went somewhere else. So we understood, but, you know, like, that's the kind of shit you see more often now. So I started, you know, reading articles about why that is, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, and some things that we might be able to, you know, do to help us with this whole situation.
Well, that was a long way of telling us that you're going to be talking about the labor shortage. All right.
Yes. But
it's good. It's good to lay a good, strong foundation. I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you? What are you talking to us about today?
I am going to be talking about our superhero or our podcast superhero, Joe Rogan. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about him. He's been in the news lately for not so good reasons, but I really want to talk about all the reasons, good and bad.
Okay. All right. Sounds interesting. Now, you just like tickled, you know, my interest. You piqued my interest there. So, you know, I was going to say something else, but never mind. We're going to keep it G-rated now. Anyways. All right. So, want me to start this off then?
Yeah, kick it off, homeboy.
Cool. All right, man. So like I said, man, you know, the articles that I've been reading were just talking about how like this is a nationwide issue, right? Like this whole labor shortage. There's just not enough people out there wanting to work or willing to work or whatever it is, you know, for various reasons. You know, some people are just they got comfortable with COVID. you know, getting that paycheck, unemployment, you know, they don't have to worry about it. Other people, you know, man, maybe they were just burnt out, you know, like, you know, just fucking got tired of working, you know, they or got tired of the low wages or a combination of it all. I don't know. You know, there's experts out there whose job it is to try to figure this shit out, and they're still arguing about it. So I'm not even going to attempt to even, you know, think about why that might be, because fuck, if they can't figure it out, I'm not going to figure it out. But the point is that, you know what I mean? The point is that there's like all kinds of shit out there. There's just the reasons why people aren't working. So, you know, that kind of puts pressure on the whole system, right? There's a reason why we're not getting our packages in time, all kinds of fucking supply chain issues. Like I said before, like you go to a restaurant, you know, you don't have the service that you once did. And, you know, just if you're in an industry where or you're in a position where you have to hire people like I do, you know, it makes your job extra harder, you know, just because you want to have people there to help you run your business or whatever it is. And they're really hard to find. And it just takes a lot more effort to find those people. So, you know, the articles that I was reading, they were talking about that and what can we do or what caused it or whatever. Or what are some of the reasons? And again, it's hard to tell what caused it. But one of the things that, you know, consistently I've been looking at, and I've you know, there's three different articles that I read. One of them is from Market Watch. It's an opinion piece, but I still think it's still worth reading. And that was published in January of this year. And then there was another article published by Forbes in November 2021. And then there was another article that I looked up recently, published by NBC Meet the Press. And that was published January 9th of this year. So they all three are fairly recent. And they all kind of say the same thing. And one of them has to do with immigration, dude. You know, immigration has dwindled over the past few years for many reasons. You know, one of them, you know, immigration policies is under the last administration, you know, were kind of, you know, they got tougher. You know what I mean? That a lot of restrictions were placed on immigration during the last administration. That has still carried over to this administration. Nothing has really changed there. So that kind of kept more people from coming to the country. And I'm talking about not just, you know, undocumented unlawful entries, but also, you know, just legal migration, dude. Like, you know, people applying for work visas or people coming in for, you know, refugee visas and stuff like that. Like all these different people that normally would be here in the United States are no longer here. And some of the articles that I was reading, actually all three of these articles were saying that, you know, most immigrants, more immigrants will go towards service industries, like more than native born workers. So to give you an example, they had a statistic that said that, you know, in the service industry, you would find maybe 8% of the like an 8% difference in the people who go into a service industry who are native born versus foreign born or, you know, just immigrants. So meaning that when you have such a big reduction in the workforce of in immigration, it causes less people to be available to work in those industries. So that's why you see a lot of those shortages. The same thing goes for like delivery drivers and people in manufacturing. So that's part of it. And a lot of it can be fixed if we are able to process those visas quicker. Because right now there's like an 8 month to 1 year backlog in processing these visas or work permits for people who are waiting for them. And, you know, they're really just there waiting to be stamped. You know what I'm saying? Like they're just, you know, CIS, which is the department that approves these visas, is just like super backlog. They don't have manpower. They don't have the people to review them and approve them. And that could be fixed if we were able to expand their budget and get them to hire more people. So that way they can process all these permits and visas. So, but that's kind of like an immediate, you know, like a real quick type of a fix. And it won't solve the whole thing because there's not enough of these people to, you know, to fill all the vacant spots that are out there. So there's still a lot more. But the biggest thing is that while we do have this immediate shortage, in the future, all three articles are saying that we're going to have a bigger issue in the future. Because what's going to happen is a lot of the baby boomers have started to retire, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that we don't have enough workers for native-born workers to replace all those people that are going to be retiring in the next, I don't know, 10 years. So they've already started to retire. That's another reason, another part of the problem that we have the shortage is that we're now seeing the effects of the baby boomer generation retiring and not enough people entering the workforce to also make up for that deficit. And that's going to continue happening for the next 10 years, even 20 years down the road. There isn't as many people being born after that generation to meet that demand. So that's what these articles kind of mainly focus on, is long-term immigration. Is, you know, how can we make it so that we have a stable supply of labor in the United States to fill all these different positions? And yeah, immigration is a great way to do that. The problem is, you know, the sentiments around in this country, you know, concerning immigration.
It's been
awful. You know what I mean? There's lies I've been told and Yeah. So it's, you know, it's sad too, because look, on one side, I get it, kind of, right? Like, people are afraid, like, of who knows what, you know, the boogeyman coming over and you know, running amok in the United States, you know, in your hometown or whatever.
Al-Qaeda and heroin. That's what we're worried about, Alfonso. Al-Qaeda and heroin. Not in my country.
I get that. I get that, right? Because anybody would be scared of, you know, or worried about their family and the effect, right, on their country. I get it. I get the sentiment. And, you know, one of the biggest talking points for a lot of people is like, well, I just don't like illegal immigration. If you do it the legal way, there's no problem, right? So I have a big problem with that statement. And my problem with that statement is that the process to migrate legally is so difficult. Very difficult. Even under normal circumstances, like right now, like I said, there's this backlog of 8 months to 1 year to process these work permits and visas. Dude, there's always a backlog. There's always, and there's all these hoops that people have to jump through that are just so unnecessary. Not to mention that, but you know, our system here in the United States for immigration is not the best. There's other systems that other countries adopt that actually have a much better way of recognizing, you know, who might be able to immigrate a lot quicker and accurately. And then also, you know, you get to see who these people are. Like, that's the whole point, right? Like, you want to be able to create a system where people can be vetted, but be vetted in a timely manner. So that way they can make it to the United States and benefit not only them, because look, the reality is the United States is always going to be like a nation of immigrants, and it depends on immigrant labor, dude. It always has, no matter what, from the very inception. You know what I mean? Like, not to take it back to this era, but dude, why slavery? You know what I mean? Like, that was the whole point of it. They imported people.
Bridge, Empire State Building.
Yeah. Sorry, so, you know, to ignore that, you know, immigrants played and still continue to play in a pivotal role in what America is not a good idea, man. It's ignorant. You know what I mean? So,
I agree. Yeah.
It just,
country was, you know, built that, with immigrants, like we said. Yeah.
Right. And it's going to continue to do so. It continues to need it. So just to continue to vilify immigrants is a terrible thing to do. You know, not just for, you know, like, just for the sake of people and humanity, but also just looking at in terms of the United States being prosperous and continuing to be a prosperous nation. It needs immigrants. And they have to be able to have a way to come here to work and, you know, eventually integrate and become part of American society. You know what I mean? Like, my grandpa was part of the Bracero program back in the day. That was a, you know, that wasn't the greatest program.
But it was something. But
it, exactly, exactly. You know what I mean? If it was tweaked, if there was a different way of doing things, you know, some countries have like what we call the point system, where, you know, you fill out the application and for different the skills and things like that, that you have education, if you speak English, you know, different things like that, they award you points. The more points you have, the more likely you are to be able to be granted, you know, a visa to come to the United States or to be go into the country. And that's something that we can try, you know, depending on what the needs of the labor market are at that point. You know what I mean? Like, if we need more engineers, and of course, those are people are going to, you know, people with engineering experience and backgrounds are going to get priority. You know, if we need farm laborers, for example, you know, we can have different criteria for them. You know what I'm saying? So you can develop these systems to help us in the United States and help, you know, anybody who's willing and able to come to the United States to find work and a chance at the better life, man, because that's all we're here to do, right? We all want the same thing.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's my topic, man.
That's what's up, man. That was cool. That was very informative, man. Did when you were researching this, were there countries that you, that, you remember reading about that have a... Because you mentioned that there are some countries that have a better processing... A better way of processing immigration. Do you remember, recall any countries off the top of your head?
One of them was Canada. Canada has a similar system like that. I know, right? And the other one, man, I got to look for it. Let me see. I wrote it down. Let me see if my notes. But it was some. It was a country in Europe. I think it might have been France. But I can look that up and see. But yeah, there's a few countries that have that, have a system like that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, our current system in the United States is like the lottery system, where you basically just people apply and then, you know, whoever just luck of the draw. And yes, wow. Doesn't seem so to you be could very really efficient. Be
getting anybody.
That's well, I mean, obviously, great. Obviously, they're going to vet you. You know what I mean?
Work and pass the background check and all that.
Right. Right. And then once that happens, then they're like, oh, yeah, well, luck, you know, good. You know, here it is.
Yeah. So before it gets to the lucky draw, there's a process already in place.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly. Like, oh, number 27, you get to come across.
Right, right.
And I so think that I feel like that's what a lot of people think is happening. Like, they just think they're just going to pick anybody. And it's never been that way. You know, as a matter of fact, like, if you just put in the paperwork by yourself, you're probably going to get denied. You know, right. Most of the time, I mean, I've had family members in the past where we've sponsored a family member to come over. You know what I mean? You gotta like turn in paperwork. You gotta turn in like your tax returns for I don't know how long to verify that. Hey, if this person comes over here and does puro desmadre, you're in charge or you're responsible for them.
Oh, and that's a different process, Frank, that you're talking about. Because what I was talking about is somebody who doesn't have any ties to the United States. It's kind of a lotto system. If you have somebody that is already living here, like a family member, then you would go under the sponsorship. That's like a
fast track.
Right. That would be a faster track. But it still takes a long-ass time. And, yeah, they dig in pretty heavily. You know, I've been in that position, too. Like, not myself personally that I sponsored somebody, but people in my family have sponsored other people in our family.
Fool, you came in a bag of oranges, remember? That was crazy.
Yeah, I know, man.
It was we have good to oranges, do that so. Three times.
and I found the article. It's the Forbes article, and it was Canada and Australia, actually, not in Europe. My mistake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was Australia who has that system. Yep.
They made Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that was New Zealand.
I know, I'm just fucking around.
But
now it's exploding right now.
Yeah. And then so what I was going to say is so that I mean, if you have family member, it makes it easier. But just, you know, getting to that point, it takes a long time. And it's not cheap either. You know, you're right. It does require like immigration lawyer. The process is a lot. So, you know, if you're going to have that kind of a process and, you know, you need workers, it's not very efficient. You know, you need to find a more efficient way of doing that. You know, like I said, and it was done before in the Bracero program. So it's not like it can't be done again. It just needs to be done better.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a way to legitimize it and make sure that the right people are getting in and nobody's getting taken advantage of anyway by farm workers or by government agencies or by people in these other countries that might prey upon people's hopes and dreams of coming to this country. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, I only speak because I have relatives in Mexico. So I know, like, dude, you come over here and you get a job at freaking Jack in the Box, you hit the jackpot. You know what I mean? You get a regular ass job like that, you're getting paid like, imagine what you're getting paid right now. And then imagine if I say, Afonso, if we move to Madagascar, you're going to make 10 times that. You'd be like, what the fuck? Let's go. That's literally what happens. Yes or no?
What am I doing here?
And in other countries, it's even more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So a lot of times these people come over here and they'll take any job and they'll take any wage because it's more than they've ever made in their whole life. You know, and that brings about other problems as well, you know, but it's just kind of like you fix one problem and then this other problem arises. So, I mean, I just feel for the people because I understand what it's like, you know, for someone to come from a place where there's just there's just no hope or there's just no way of being able to make it somehow, you know?
Yeah.
And coming over here and just work and the American dream, you know, you come and you work hard and you make something of yourself and it could happen, you know, you could get a job, a 40-hour a week job and be able to buy a house and raise your kids and become a citizen. I mean, that's what happens with what happened with my dad, you know? So,
right.
I mean,
exactly.
And a lot of other people have different stories, you know, and different reasons for what they did. But in the end, really, they're just coming over here to work and trying to contribute to the community. You know what I mean? In most instances, you know, there are some stray cats out there. And just like in any family, you know, there's fuck ups. And sometimes those maybe will even get across in this vetting process. But maybe if we tighten the screw somehow and do better, you know, maybe we can, like you mentioned, increase funding somehow, some way. I mean, we're spending money on crazy amounts of money on crazy ass things. I mean, I'm sure if we did some research, we could find a multitude of programs that were like, are you serious? You're testing what runs the viscosity of toothpaste and pasta sauce?
Yeah, no, for real, man. Like, and there's a lot of wasted money in government. We know that, and I'm sure we can dig up articles and maybe that'll be a topic for another 40s with friends down the road.
Gross. I'm trying to apply for a 403C for the podcast local.
And the other point that I wanted to make was the other thing about, like, you know, the argument where, you know, they took their jobs, you know, whatever, you know, they're coming and taking our jobs. Look, I don't know. I mean, if we look around now, man, like there's less immigrants now than there have been in the last 2.5 years. Look at the job shortage. Are they really taking their jobs? I don't think so. And again, man, like these statistics of the baby boomers vacating their jobs, you know, no, there's going to be way more jobs out there than anybody can and knows what to do with. You know what I mean? It's going to be a shortage. It's going to be bad. So, no, they're not taking your jobs. There's plenty of jobs out there. There's not enough workers. That's the problem right now. There's not enough workers. So
there's this guy that has the job that I want. He has my job that I had in high school working at Arby's.
He might quit.
When he quits, I'm quitting my job and I'm getting that job.
Oh, dang, you lucky son of a gun. Why'd you even let that go ever?
I know, bro. You get the elbow of the roast beef when it's done at the end of the day on all of them. Puro sobaco. That's armpit. My bad. Nah, that's it. Super informative, man, because I've been noticing, and I'm sure a lot of people out there also listening, you know, have also noticed, you know, everywhere you go, it is taking a little bit longer. You know, I mean, you go to Target and there's nobody stocked in the shelves. Yeah. There's nobody running. You're like, where's everybody at? This is all we got, bro. We're trying our best.
Yeah. That's what it is, man. So, you know, hopefully this thing kind of turns around fairly soon because, you know, it's needed. You know, workers are needed.
Hiring 14-year-olds pretty soon.
Yeah, that's another thing you can do. You can roll back the fucking what do they call the worker child labor laws? Child labor laws. Yeah. Roll those back. All right,
make
man.
My chimichanga, Tristan. Hurry up.
Fool, he's only in kindergarten. Lay off.
Aiden, get my double cheeseburger now. I'm sorry. Don't tell me sorry, Aiden. Hurry up. It's my first. Shut up, Aiden.
Fool, he's gonna steal all the.
That's crazy.
He's gonna steal all the Happy Meals. Just take those from work.
I never found your stash, fool.
All right, man. What are you talking to us about today?
All right, man. I'm going to talk about... Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did. Yeah. It was pretty good.
You remember the QR code commercial?
Yeah, that I got duped. Fuck it. I did. Yeah,
did your phone brick?
No. Yours bricked?
Ooh, the Chinese were behind that, and they've chipped your phone now. They've downloaded a TikTok-like app. It looks just like... No, just kidding. That's not what I'm talking about.
I was like, fool, what? You had me, dude. I was like, I gotta check my phone. I thought it was for Bitcoin, for crypto.
Fool, they already unloaded your wallet.
Fuck. Good thing I didn't have anything in there.
I had an old crypto, so now you took away my debt. Thanks, China.
Thanks.
I knew it all along. That's why I did it.
Sweet.
And I used my mom's phone, too.
Sorry, moms, but you don't own anything no more.
You might have had crypto. Nah, I'm going to be talking about Joe Rogan, man. I mean, one of the we talk about this a lot, you know, he's one of the first people that we listen to, or we even, why did we listen to Joe Rogan? I mean, what are some things you've always known about Rogan, Fonzo?
You know what? When I first started listening to him, I thought it was, you know, he's entertaining, dude. Like, I like the fact that he had like just, you know, some just weird, you know, weird conversations with people, just, you know, like, fuck, man, I can't think of a specific person right now, but like, I like that his conversations seemed like they were just not planned, like they were just two people talking.
They're genuine conversations.
Yeah, and they would just get into these cool little topics, and then like, you know, he seemed to be genuinely interested in what this other person was talking about, and of course, that person was like super into their conversation, because it's, you know, that's... It's whatever they like to talk about. For example, okay, I'll give you a good one. Like Neil deGrasse Tyson, right? Like he's one of my favorite, you know, scientists out there. You know, I love, you know, watching him and hearing him break things down, right? And like he's breaking down these astrophysics, you know, concepts and shit. And that, I thought that was super cool. And just the questions that Joe asked, you know, I found honestly just intriguing and thought-provoking, you know, because it'd be like questions that I would ask, you know, just conversation with my friends. And, you know, they just seem to be, you know, to have like a really good conversation and just fun and lighthearted. And then he would also have some, you know, honest like conversation with people who were like, okay, you know what, this is getting into like some pretty heavy stuff here. But he was able to keep that same conversational tone with people. And, you know, that's really the appeal, man. Like, just random, just assortment of eclectic people coming in and out of his show. It caught my attention.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always known Joe Rogan from, I mean, I'm a little bit older than you. I remember he was on some 80s or 90s sitcom, or it was a 90s sitcom called News Radio. And I didn't know who he was, but I remember him being on that show. And then after that show, he started coming out on Fear Factor.
Right.
And I think by the time, a little bit into Fear Factor, was when he started doing work with the UFC. And that's when I really became a big fan of his. And then I started doing jiu-jitsu. And then a little bit after I started doing jiu-jitsu, I started getting into podcasts. And I would just download a bunch of stuff, but I would never listen to anything. And he was one of the few that I would download. And then finally he had a guest on that I'm like, oh, dude, I want to hear what they're going to talk about. I want to hear this. And it was Boss Rude. And it was back in February of 2011. It was like episode 83. So it wasn't like the first batch of episodes. He'd been doing it for a while already. He kind of perfected his little formula. And he had Boss on. And for those of you that don't know Boss Rude is like a ex-UFC light heavyweight champ from the early days. He's a Pancrase champion. He's just an awesome, awesome dude. He's got a jiu-jitsu school, I want to say like in Beverly Hills somewhere. He used to also train MMA fighters. He's got an awesome scene in the documentary on Hicks and Gracie called Choke, where he was training Rico Rodriguez for a fight against... Actually, he wasn't training Rico Rodriguez. He was training Mark Kerr for a fight, and Rico Rodriguez was helping out, and Boss Rutten was the coach. So he kind of organized the whole thing. So if you haven't seen Choke, go check it out. Awesome scene with Boss Rutten. Trust me, it's worth it. But yeah, he had Boss on as a guest, and Boss, you know, I mean, Boss is just awesome, dude. He got crazy stories. And as a matter of fact, Boss started telling stories about being a bouncer. You said, you know, one of the things that Rogan's able to do is he gets these people in his studio and it's almost like they forget they're being recorded because they're just conversating. And I don't know if they were drinking or smoking weed on that episode. I don't recall. But a lot of times that's what he would do back in the day, you know, and that lowers the filter for people a little bit and they start to open up. And then next thing you know, they're telling these cool, awesome stories. And Boss told the sickest bouncer stories. That's where I got the idea for our bouncer episode. I was so enthralled with that. I'm like, man, someday I would love to do something where I talk to bouncers like that. And we were able to do it. And I'd love to do it again, you know what I mean? But that was when I got like fish hooked into Joe Rogan. And almost every day, well, maybe not even every day, because a lot of times I would sift through his get, you know, I would look at the guest and I'd be like, I'm not into that. I'm not even going to listen to it. And I wouldn't listen to it. And it would be totally fine. And then the next day or 2 days later, because he used to not pump him out every day. He used to pump him out like maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, whatever his schedule allowed him to do, he would do. And just as time progressed, he started doing them almost every day is pretty much what he does now, if you look at it. But it was just a cool deal, you know, where he would have on these, just like you mentioned, a wide variety of different guests. He would have on comedians, obviously, because he's a comedian. He was right there in LA, you know, so he had access to all these high level talent coming in. You know, hey, he would catch him at the show the night before. He would do a little set himself. They would do a set. They would probably go back, have a couple of drinks, and say, hey, coming on my iPad, I'll do a podcast tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, you're listening to Tony Hinchcliffe. You're listening to Bill Burr. You're listening to Brian Callen. You know, you got to meet and get to know all these super cool people. And like I said, they're comedians. Sometimes they're scientists, you know, like you mentioned, Neil Tyson deGrasse. Sometimes it's authors. You know what I mean? I know he's had on this guy named, you ever heard of Graham Hancock?
No.
Graham Hancock, he like loves tripping balls on fucking DMT and doing these crazy writing things, and he's got some crazy books, but he's got some super cool, interesting stories. You know, Eddie Bravo, dude, what's not to like about Eddie Bravo? Should you take him for the truth? He's just an entertainer. Who cares? He loves talking about crazy conspiracy stories. He's got some funny ass stories. Dude, he told a story early on in one of their podcasts where I'm not even going to go into the details, but it involves Eddie Bravo in middle school and a condom that he used a lot.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's crazy. Dude, you're like, what the fuck? Fool, were you my friend in middle school? You're like, that's what shit middle school people do, you know? But again, we listen to these podcasts. Why? Because it's entertainment. It's just something that I used to listen to these like during my prep period. As a matter of fact, dude, I don't know if you remember, but I worked at a middle school in Fresno, and it was known for giant rumbles. And one day I was listening to a super good podcast, and mind you, one whole side of my classroom is nothing but windows. And there was a giant rumble like right outside my class. I didn't fucking know what was going on, dude. I just put surround sound on, listen to my podcast, and I'm just doing work, dude, because it's just entertaining, you know? It's good stuff.
Right.
But again, I got introduced to a bunch of different comedians, you know, and then soon after that, I started going down. I don't know if you remember. You probably didn't you go a couple of times with us when we went to the Comedy Store?
No, I don't think I did.
But there was a handful of times where we would drive out and go to the Comedy Store on a Friday night, and sometimes random ass people would just show up. Oh, you know, you see the lineup and you'd be like, oh, cool. You know, it's going to be a good show no matter what. And then Bobby Lee drops in, or Joe Rogan drops in, or Brian Callen drops in, and you get to see all these people that you would hear on the show, you know, firsthand. And then not only did I get introduced to all these different guests, but dude, how many commercials does this fool have at the beginning, at the middle? Now he's playing us. He's mixing it all up. But how many commercials does he have in his podcast? How many sponsors does that guy have?
I don't know, man. I don't think I've ever listened to a whole podcast. I've like listened to like bits and pieces of different guests. So I don't know. I don't think I've ever listened to a whole show.
Back in the day, he would always start off every podcast. I mean, he still does. I mean, I think with Spotify, he starts, and then a little bit later, sometimes the ads kick in, or he has like these readings that he does for his sponsors. But dude, there's been so many things that he's been like, hey, I try this, you should try it too. And I would always try it. Not everything that he would plug, I would try. But dude, I tried Me Undies, some chonies. I tried Butcher Box. You know, that's like a meat delivery service. I tried Nature Box. It was like a snack of the month, like a order snacks for the month kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen him push the Onnit, and then the Tim Tam.
Yeah.
I remember that. Like I actually bought it. Well, no, I didn't buy it. I got it as a gift because one of my friends knew that I wanted it. But it's that it's a massage therapy gun. Like you fucking like it, like it's like a jackhammer type of motherfucker. You press a button and it just
sick ass fool.
Yeah, yeah.
Fool, you got the member. He also, dude, he used to also be sponsored by Fleshlight. How many of those did you go through?
Fool, I'm on my 50th one.
You became like a lifetime member. You're like,
I did. Fool, they're on auto reorder. Fool, they already know.
They say you win every 5 weeks.
Dude, every 2 weeks.
Click here if you need your delivery faster. No, but seriously though, man, he's done a lot for all this. For as long as he's been on, I've found what he's been saying very informative, and very, maybe not even informative, but like entertaining, because sometimes he'd be talking about monsters. He'll talk about UFOs. He'll talk about drugs. He'll talk about freaking fights. You know what I mean? Like, which brings me to another point. You know what I mean? And actually, before we go on, I want to talk about his Spotify exclusivity deal. He signed with Spotify, as everybody knows, and he signed a mega deal. Fonz, do you remember what the numbers were originally reported at?
Oh, like, man. Maybe not I first heard it, was it...
You remember the number that he was going to get paid?
Was it like 10 million, 100 million?
It was in the low hundreds, like 110, 120 yeah. mil for X amount of years, right? Well,
right.
A couple weeks ago, people started reporting, and this was in the New York Post, this was in or Washington Post, this was in the New York Times, this was in Reuters, this was in Forbes. His deal is actually worth more than $200 million. And what? I don't know if that was the original number, or is that the number that he got because of incentives, and now it's blown up into this number. You know what I mean? Kind of like the way athletes, like a quarterback, oh, if you throw 20 touchdowns, you'll get $1 million, and every touchdown after that, it's like 250K more or whatever. You know, it's a monetary incentive that they have based on hitting certain numbers. And this was never spoken about, and all of a sudden, you know, Rogan has been in the news because he's had some guests on who've been, maybe depending on what side you're on, giving some bad information, but he just keeps been pumping. You're like, dude, why does he keep putting these people on? But they get millions of downloads. Like, those are the ones that get even more than his regular episodes sometimes even. And he, if you look at his guest list from the last 18 months, it's changed dramatically since he signed this deal. I mean, we're in February now of 22. He signed the deal to go exclusive in September. So what's that like? Almost 2 years of info there? Well, this year will be two full years. So we're like at 14, 15 months, somewhere around there. But before he signed this exclusive deal with Spotify, one of the episodes that I would always look forward to listening to would be his Fight Companions. Did you ever listen to any of those, Fonzo?
No, I don't think I did, man.
All right. I'm not sure if you guys out there listening have ever listened to these Joe Rogan's old Fight Companions, but basically, imagine like if we were going to podcast live, and we got to do this, all right? We're going to do this. We're going to do our own Fight all Companion, right. Be it for who's number one, or ADCC, or a UFC, or a fight night, or a pay-per-view, whatever. We're going to do it. But basically, what he would do is, he'll be like, basically, imagine if I go, Fonzo, Saturday night, my pad, we're going to record, bring some meat. Cousinette, we're recording at 7, bring some drinks. Eddie, we're 7 o'clock, bring some weed. Or, well, you know what I mean? Whatever. But everybody, it would just be like a potluck. And then, you would, all right, you know, everyone knows what time the fights start. When the fights start, we're recording and we're going. All right, Taylor, fights are starting right now. Taylor, everybody, count it down. And first round is starting in 5, 4, 3, in case you want to sync up with us. Boom. So it's live at the moment for the fights. And they're just really, they're supposed to be commentating on the fights that Joe wouldn't be working on. You know what I mean? You know, like, oh, dude, look at this. I heard that he's been working on this. And, you know, just kind of the things that you wouldn't be able, that he wouldn't be able to share on a pay-per-view or on a show. You'd get that, a little bit of insight. Because sometimes Brandon Schaub would be there. Sometimes it might be like an actual UFC fighter or a retired fighter, you know, or a coach. So it would be super cool. But, you know, as the show would go on, they'd be having drinks or they would smoke, and they would get a little off track, sidetrack, but they would tell good ass stories, you know. And that's really when I really wanted to get into podcasting, was after listening to those episodes. But since he switched over to Spotify, he hasn't done any. And as a matter of fact, he's done 21 MMA shows since then. I don't have the numbers on how many he did before, but it was like almost once a month before that, and he'd been on since 2009, I want to say 2010.
Right.
I went back and I looked at, I went back to like late fall of last year, and he's had one MMA show in July, in January with Juliana Pena. He's had two in December. Before that, he had one in October. And then before that, he had two in August. And then I didn't go any further than that. And then again, no fight companions. The last fight companion was July 11th of 2020. So,
oh, wow.
I don't know if he's also, you know, when he started the Spotify deal, that's when he moved to Texas. And one of the things that he was able to do when he was in LA was that's where all his homies were. So his homies would just drop in sometimes. So,
right.
I don't know if it's that he doesn't have the same kind of friends in Texas. But he's got that Spotify money, full fly him in on a jet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do these five companions. And they're funny, man. You know, they're so good. I mean, how many times have you watched a fight with your friends and you're barbecuing and you're having drinks and you're watching the fights and someone's dad tells a crazy ass story about Vietnam? Or someone tells a crazy ass work story. You know what I mean? It's good stuff. You know.
So you think that that Spotify is affecting like all that stuff that he's not doing anymore? Like, is it like them pushing? Like, hey man, you got to get more ratings. So this was getting you more ratings. So like, do more of this, less of that.
I definitely think that. And then even more so, when he came out and gave that message, like, hey, I'm not doing anything. I'm just getting both sides. And which he does, but sometimes he seems to sprinkle the other side and he agrees with the other side, which is totally fine. I don't give a shit. That's totally fine. And if you want to agree with him, you can as well, you know? And as a matter of fact, I remember somebody that I follow on Insta posted something about him when he was catching a lot of heat. And I was like, bro, I commented on it and I shouldn't have, but I did. And I said something like, bro, he's a comedian, UFC commentator. Why the fuck do I care? Or why the fuck would I ask him about health advice? I'm going to ask him about a joke, or I would ask him about a fighter, because he would have better knowledge about that than I would, you know? But you might as well ask him about how to fix a rocket or about the solar system or about the Big Bang Theory, because he's going to know nothing about that as well.
Right. Yeah.
And then somebody actually responded and came back at me and they're like, oh, so do you think you should just be listening to your doctor or Big Pharma or whoever you want? And I go, yeah, you should listen to whoever you want, regardless of who. You know, and but that's what I'm saying, dude. And the more people have turned on him, the more people are listening, and he's reaping the benefits. Like, this 200 mil didn't just come out of nowhere. You know, it's been there. I'm sure it's been a goal that he's been working on. I'm sure Spotify was like, hey, fool, you're getting crazy ass numbers. Keep this up, because this was in their plan. This was, if you go back and read about like the early business plan of Spotify, since day one, they've been wanting to become number one in the podcast industry. They've been trying to take down Apple, and they finally did it in December. They were number one in podcasting of all the podcast platforms out there. They had the most listens, the most downloads. That's no accident. There's no accident there. That Rogan had a big part of that. That's why they're paying him the big bucks. The money he's paying off, all, you know, the saying, you get what you pay for. Shit, $100 million. Think about what you're going to get with that.
Right.
And, and I just like, I'm kind of sad about it, you know? I'm like, I would do the same, you know? I would be like, hey, fucking grape juice is the best. I hate grape juice, but I'll tell you it's the best if they're going to pay me. You know, maybe grape juice, but I don't know if I would sell like poop water or anything like that. I don't want to hurt people. But if I can make some money and do something that is just going to sell a little bit of my soul, I'll do it. I'm fine with that. You won't be mad when you got that new studio, Afonso.
I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. I guess I won't know until I'm presented with that decision. Right now,
I won't know until the Mexican construction workers are showing up at your house, blasting some Ramon Ayala and laying concrete.
To install my new pool?
All right, done. All right. You got a podcast from the pool.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know, man. Right. I don't know. I guess I'll cross that bridge.
I just feel bad because what's that?
I said I'll cross that bridge when I get there, I guess. Once that offer is made, then I'll figure out if I can sell my soul or not.
Once the concrete's dry, there's no going back.
Okay.
But I just thinking, you know, that I miss the old Joe Rogan. The old Joe Rogan would have on like a fucking scientist that is working on crazy bacteria. I don't know. He would just have the weirdest guests on at the randomest times, you know, sometimes fighters, sometimes doctors, sometimes whatever. And now it just kind of seems like it's the same recurring theme over and over. And a lot of the people that he used to have on, he doesn't have on as often. And again, that could be because the location change, but it's kind of sus to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's normal, man. Whenever you're getting paid like that, I mean, cause it's no longer his podcast. You know what I mean? It's not just him to control. Like he's got a boss now, Joe Rogan
on Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a boss now. You know what I mean? Like he didn't before. Now he does. So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, like he's got to take it. I mean, he's got $200 million. He can't be that mad.
Apple belongs to the streets.
Yeah.
That street is called Spotify.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's too bad, man. So maybe somebody can fill that void, but yeah, it's too bad. But it is what it is, you know what I mean? Congratulations to him for getting that 200 mil. Him and his family set for life. He's still putting out awesome podcasts, you know. I'll give a listen to his episodes every now and then. I haven't heard a full episode. I want to say maybe I've listened to like two complete episodes of his since he switched over to Spotify. I can't think of the second episode. I'm like, oh, actually, no, I am lying. Two episodes that I listened to all the way were one of his MMA shows from this last December with Chito Vera on. You guys know who Chito Vera, the UFC fighter? Dude, that's a really cool podcast. Listen to that one. Cool backstory. That's like if you were to ask me like, hey, what's a Joe Rogan episode that I actually listen to that I'll get a good feel for what his episodes are like, that would be one. That's a classic Joe Rogan episode where you're going to get stories you're not going to hear anywhere else. You're going to hear, I mean, he even gets into his tattoos, you know, like personal stories like that. He talks about his first day in the gym. He talks about his first fight. Craziness. And then the other episode that I would highly, highly recommend you go listen to, and I don't know the number, I want to say it was like from January of last year or February of 2021, and it was when he had Francis Ngannou on. Dude. Okay. Anybody out there listen to that episode? That's a fucking movie, bro. That guy's story, amazing. Amazing. Go listen to that story, to that episode. It's like a little, it's a long one, like 2+ hours. But it's just cliffhanger after cliffhanger. You know, it's a roller coaster ride, but it's a well worth episode to listen to. And you'll get a better understanding for who Francis is as a person and kind of like, oh shit, he is like, after hearing all the stuff he's gone through, I can see why he is the way he is.
Right.
But awesome episodes. I don't listen to all of them all the time, but hey.
Yeah, whatever. The last thing I heard from Joe Rogan was that compilation of him saying the N-word over and over again. I think that was it. Terrible.
I've never heard him say that. I mean, obviously he has. But see, that's the thing about choosing topics, that choosing episodes to listen to. You know what I mean? There's some episodes where I'm like, that's like a topic that I don't really want to know about. On top of that, that person is someone that is super controversial, and maybe I don't even like that person. So if he can have him on, I can still like him. I can still like listening to him, but that episode, I'm not going to listen to. And I'm not saying that he got baited into saying the things that he said. He's got free will. He's got his own mind. He said what he said. Hey, that's too bad. You know, in the end, you have a choice. Just like he had a choice to say what he says, we should have a choice into listening to what we want to listen to, you know? But again, we should also be smart enough to understand that, hey, he's not an expert. And maybe the people that he's having on are or were considered experts at a certain time, and maybe they're not, but you gotta be adult about that and realize that yourself. And you can't just be like, oh, he said he's a doctor and I'm gonna listen to what he says. Fool, you don't know that fool's background. Would you go to get a root canal from any doctor in the phone book? Hell no. Would you just drive around town until you saw a freaking, what's the colonoscopy doctors?
Proctologist? I don't know.
Or a proctologist. Would you just drive around and be like, oh, that's a proctologist. All right, I'm going to go get my colonoscopy done right there. Yeah. No, dude, you're going to do some research. You know, same thing with your health or with anything that's going to have something to do with your life or your well-being. Do a little bit of research and don't just use Google. You're not in fifth grade. You're not doing a state project report. So go to your library or use your university's database or something. But we got to do better than just doing simple Google searches.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's not the best. Yeah. Use Google
Scholar. Most of the time, that's not the best.
That's a good source. Yeah, Google Scholar. Yeah. Google, not the best for anything. So if you can find something else, cool. But also check, because there's a lot of bullshit out there.
Yeah.
So that's all I got for tonight, Fonzo. Thanks for listening, man.
Felt like I was on the
soapbox there.
No, that's a good topic, man. It's good to go back and look back at how things started, you know, and with everything, man. Like, I mean, he's a comedian, you know, he's an artist, just like a musician, you know, is, just like, you know, an author is, and stuff like that. And like, you know, things change as people evolve and move in. And, you know, again, you know, once you decide to sign a deal like this, then, you know, you got to understand that, you know, your medium isn't 100% your own now. Like, now you're sharing it. You're kind of co-writing it with whoever's paying you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they have Spotify, their own agenda. When our
Spotify money kicks in and we start talking about karate more, don't trip out, guys.
All right. So here's a true test. Here's a true test here for you, Frank. If you get that Spotify deal, right, and they force you to do it. Let's just say, hey, we'll give you $10 million tomorrow, but you gotta put on your podcast that you think that karate is a superior martial arts to jiu-jitsu. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say?
The fact that you have to ask me that question, Fonzo, you know I'm not signing for less than $12 million a month.
All right.
For the rest of my life. And then I'm going to change the name of jiu-jitsu to karate. So really, when people be like, you do karate? You'd be like, yeah, I do karate. Think about it, man. We can get paid still.
You're playing chess, man. I'm playing Spotify. I'm playing chutes and ladders. It's not even chess. Checkers.
Exactly, bro. You're trying to play checkers. Right. I'm over here playing Bejeweled Part 3.
All right, man. Well, now we know. Now we know.
Jiu-jitsu forever. All right, man. That's all I got, Fonzo. You want anything else you want to add, man, before we wrap this up?
Nah, man. I just want to say it was cool. I hope you guys out there enjoy it, too. Let us know. Let us know what your thoughts are, man. Are we completely off base here with what our thoughts are? And let us know if there's any topics that you like to maybe have us talk about on the show. I mean, I love to do some research on other stuff. Like I said, we kind of just plan these out, whatever, you know, we catches our interest, you know, before we talk about it. So, you know, if you find something interesting out there, share it, share it with us. And yeah, maybe we'll see it on the podcast later.
Yeah. And whoever's sending those messages and asking us to do the history of baby oil, stop. Just stop. We're not going to do it. All right.
That was Eddie.
No, it's me, fool. It could be a multitude of people. There could be a lot of people. We're not going to do it. But you know what we are going to do next week? What's the next UFC? 272? Is it 272 or 273? 272? 27 Deuce. That's Jorge Masvidal, Colby Covington, bro. That's going to be a really good card. I'm looking forward to talking about that, breaking it down. I'm going to throw my cast out there and try to reel in the big dog, Eddie. See if we can get him on the podcast, because Nat's excited to talk about it. But that'll be next weekend or next week's show. So look out for that dropping pretty soon, Jujiteros. Until next week, everybody, stay safe out there. Keep rolling and trading if you can, and we hope to hear from you soon. Peace.
Cool, man.
Fucking dogs whacking it under the table over here.
This is The Motivation.